Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good evening. Everybody doing okay? Be safe out there. I've seen a lot of people going through red lights lately. Be safe and don't text while you're driving. I heard the saddest story the other day. A guy's in prison, a good guy, but he was texting while he was driving, hurt somebody badly. It's got to be safe out there, okay? Sometimes I come in here and I'm caffeined up. I've had no caffeine today. I could fall asleep on you. isn't that terrible how we become dependent on caffeine? Anybody dependent on caffeine here beside me? Have to have your coffee in the morning. You got to wake up, yeah. We're going to talk. I'm going to take right back off from where I left off at last Wednesday night. I'm going to beat up that subject of being born again a little bit again, okay? We've got to know what a Christian is. If not, there's going to become a very severe judgment day for us pastors if we don't teach this stuff right. Let's pray. Father God, bless this and anoint it. Help us. Give me the strength I need to teach it. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Now, last week we spoke about being a Christian because society and the culture in America is very confused about this topic. And as a result, we have a lot of people that think they're born again and think they're going to heaven who are not. Now, it has nothing to do with lifestyle. It has to do with faith, okay? I mean, if you really, really believe that Jesus was the Messiah, he was the Christos, and he died on the cross, and every word that he said is true, and that he is coming back, it's going to affect the way you live. This faith, nothing to do with works. None of us are good enough to be a Christian. But let's talk about this a little more tonight. A Christian is someone who's been born twice. Now, look at John 2, 1 through 9. A very common passage here. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus' disciples were invited to the wedding. And that's not what I wanted. And Jesus told the woman what it had, nothing. Let's don't go there. I was going to give you a whole different passage. I think it was for, anyway, long story short. Being born again, it's actually a point in time where you receive the Holy Spirit and he comes to live in your body. And I said last week, usually that is something you'll remember in your life. Most people remember the time that they got born the second time. Not everybody, but most people do. They go, it was that day, I walked in the back of church, I sat down. Pastor Tom Touchstone, he walked in one day, raised his hand, and said, I want to receive the Lord as my Savior. Brian Welch for Corn sat right there in the front row in the other sanctuary, raised his hand at the altar call, I want to be born again. There's usually a specific time when you say, I'm tired of living that way, and I want to live for Christ. Now, Nicodemus was confused about it, wasn't he? He said, you know what? He said, Jesus, you're saying that unless a man's born again, he shall never see the kingdom of God. And he said, I don't get this. He said, can I go back and crawl up my mother's womb and get born again? I don't get born twice. And Jesus said, no, you got to be born of the water sac. You got to be born naturally, and you have to be born spiritually, to be born twice. And the second birth is just as powerful almost as the first birth. Now, again, I will thank God until the day I die that he woke me up one morning when I was 20-some years old and gave me, you didn't let me finish yet, he gave me the illustration of those two balls of clay. I mean, that has helped so much that we're the red balls of clay, and then when we asked the Lord, I want to be born for the second time. He'll send his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will actually enter our body, and we have that blue ball of clay, and they mix together, and you have a purple ball of clay. Now, stay with me tonight. Once you receive the Holy Spirit into your life, and all of you in here tonight who are born again, you have the Holy Spirit living inside your body. You received him. When you got born again, he came and lived inside of you. Now, for all of you who have the Holy Spirit in your life, change is going to be inevitable. It is what it is. I've done a lot of deliverances in my life, and when someone has a demon spirit in them, you know it. They don't act normal because they have another spirit residing in their body. When you're a Christian and you receive the Holy Spirit, first of all, you can't enjoy sin like you used to. If you're here tonight, you want to test yourself. If you can go and get into sin and it doesn't even bother you, you're not a Christian. You've never been born again. It's impossible. Say with me, it's impossible. You hear the voice of the Lord. Now, many Christians don't recognize it. Look at John 10:27. It says, my sheep hear my voice. It doesn't say my sheep should hear my voice, that my sheep need to learn how to hear my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. If you're truly born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit likes to go to church. He does. And you're going to want to go to church. You're going to have a desire to go to church. Likes worship music. You're going to like worship. You're not going to be repelled by worship music. See, when I was in the world, I wasn't serving the Lord. I remember my mom and dad always watched Billy Graham, and it would unnerve me to death. Especially if I was in the house when they gave that altar call music, come just as I am without one plea. I wanted to get out of that house so quick. I did not want to be in there. Today, I love those songs. See, the Holy Spirit likes worship music, and you're going to like it. I could go on and on, but there's undeniable evidences. You can't be born again without any evidences. You can't. No more than a person possessed by a demon cannot have some evidences of that demon in them. And it's very, very noticeable. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. That's a good one. He says, I want you to test yourselves. Or do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Now, Christ Jesus is in you, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test. He says, test yourself. See if the Lord isn't in you. Now, I want to show you something while we have this verse up. That's the NIV. I want you to know, I'm very careful with the versions I use. Sometimes I like to use the Message Bible, but I won't use it if it doesn't stay true to the text in the specific verse I want. Now, you see right here, it says, do you not realize that Christ is in you? You see that, Christ in you? But look at this same verse in the New Living Translation. Examine yourselves, see if your faith is genuine, test yourselves. Surely you know that Christ is among you. That's dangerous. It changed the words. And if you're studying, you're going to get this all messed up. And sometimes I do use the New Living Translation when it espouses the original verse. Now, I'll use the Message because the Message has it right. Now, look at the Message Bible. Same verse. Test yourselves to make sure you're solid in the faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Now, see, I like that. That's good. Now, because this is true, that the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, lives in us, then, you know, you're going to see some of the fruits of Jesus. I mean, if his Spirit lives in us, you're going to see some of the fruits of his life, and it's going to be comparable to yours. It'll be very evident. And because this is true, that the Holy Spirit is very evident in your life, these verses here is going to make more sense to you now. Now, look at these verses in light of that truth. 1 John 2:19. It says, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown they're not really all of us. They're not of us. Now, do you understand why that's true? In light of what I told you, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not going to be able to walk away from church and just stay away. You can't do it. Now, it's different if somebody leaves here and goes to another church. But in this day, there was just like one church. And if they left and didn't want to go to church anymore, that was sure evidence that the Holy Spirit wasn't in them. Wow. All these verses now make different sense. Again, sanctification is about eternal security, and I don't want to go through that again. But the Bible says without sanctification, no man will see God. And you all know, if you've been here any length of time, you know I use those balls of clay again, mixing the red and the blue. The blue comes down from heaven. The red, that's Adam, it means red. And when they mix together, you become purple. Now, once you become so amount of purple, you can't walk away. You can't separate the balls of clay anymore. And that's the whole thing in itself that I'll probably do more in the future, because I want to put this on social media. I want everybody to see this. So we can't walk away. There's other verses that will make more sense now when you look at being born again. Look at 1 John 5, 1 and 2. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Christos, the anointed one from heaven, is born of God. That makes sense. Everybody says, that's the Christos. He came from heaven. He's from God. That they're born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. Every Christian believer is going to observe God's commandments, maybe to different degrees. Some of us are a little more disobedient than others, but you're going to be obeying his commandments to a certain degree. So again, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're going to be going to church. You can't say, well, I love God, but I don't love Jesus. No, you got to love both. Because if you love God and you're born again, you'll love Jesus too. And if you love Jesus, you'll love his body. I don't get people who go, you know, I'm a Christian, I love God, but I just don't like church. The church is the body of Christ. That's like you coming up to me and said, hey, Ron, I really like you, man, but I hate your body. I go, what? You're a little weird. The church also is the bride of Christ. Don't come up to me and say, Ron, I love you, but I hate your wife. That doesn't float. But because the Holy Spirit's in you, you're going to go to church. You're going to want to serve God. You're going to like sermons. It's not about sermons. You just kind of like them because the Holy Spirit likes them. He's in you. Look at 1 John 5:18. We know that no one who's born of God sins, and that word is practice sin. So what does it say? No one who's born of God practices sin. Why? Because he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Whoa. Look at 1 John 3 and 9. No one who is born of God practices sin, okay, because his seed abides in him. And he cannot practice sin. This is interesting. Now see, a lot of people read these verses and go, well, I see Christians that can do it. No, do you understand that the reason you cannot practice sin in an ongoing way for a certain length of time is because it seeds in you? And that's the reason. Now, all of us, I mean, I could fall into sin tonight, you could too, but there's a certain length of time I could stay in it. There used to be a pastor in town, and I didn't know until later that he was having an affair on his wife. He was into all this stuff, but he went on for 2 or 3 years preaching. Pretty soon he was in the hospital, nervous breakdown, all kinds. I said, well, what's wrong with this guy? So it's because his seed abides in you. Look at the next verse, 1 John 2 and 4. The one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commandments, he's a bold-faced liar. Oh, I like John. And the truth isn't even in him. Now, I don't want to drive this into the ground, as we talk about it a lot, but I've seen a lot of people running around today going, I'm a Christian, man. I'm a believer in Christ, yeah. But I sleep around, I get drunk, I have no desire to go to church. You know what John would say? You're a liar. You're a liar. You're not born again. And if you should die today, you're not going to heaven. Because the Bible just says that people with the Holy Spirit cannot do that in an ongoing way for a long time, on and on and on. See, Jesus said it very plain. He said, gang, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know a believer by his fruit. He says, you know, you can't go pick thorns from a grapevine, whatever, and you'll know them by their fruit. Now, last week I used that illustration, and I'll repeat it again. If someone calls me up and says, hey, Ron, man, I found this weird bird in my backyard. Really? Yeah, he doesn't have any feathers, and he doesn't have any wings, and he doesn't even have a beak. And I'd say, well, I think you have some, but I don't think it's a bird. If it doesn't have a beak, doesn't have feathers, doesn't have wings, it's not a bird. It's something else. You have something, but it's not a bird. Can I clarify the difference between loving God and struggling with sin versus loving sin and struggling with God? Those are two different creatures. There's a lot of Christians that love God and they struggle with sin, and that's okay because you love God. But a lot of people, they love sin, but they struggle with a relationship with God. Now, in our text, Peter, he tells us, he says, to act as free men. Now, we're going to go further. Stay with me. Once you're born again, your sins are gone. As far as your guilt and your condemnation, your judgment, it's gone. Jesus takes your sins. Look at Romans 8 and 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who is in Christ Jesus. Do you understand your past sins, your present sins, your future sins? Jesus all took them to the cross and he died. And he took them. They're gone. That's part of the hilariously good news of the gospel. Our sins are gone. Look at 1 Peter 2:24. For he himself bore our sins in his body, our sins. Dinger, he bore your sins in his body. He bore my sins. John, he bore your sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. I want to say more about that later, but not right now. Look at John 1:29. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now remember, I told you a few weeks ago about the scapegoat back in Leviticus. To demonstrate that Jesus was the Lamb of God, that scapegoat, remember the priest would lay his hands on that scapegoat and he would confess every sin the people had committed, every sin. Then they would take the scapegoat, lead him out, and let him go in the wilderness. He was gone. He had their sins on his head, and he was gone. So our sins are gone. 1 John 3 and 5. It says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins. That's why he appeared. Take them away. I had a conversation with somebody this week, and a loved one had committed suicide, and they said, Pastor, I'm just really concerned. They didn't have time to ask God to forgive them. Well, I know the person that committed suicide, and they loved Jesus with all their heart. They were born again. They had fruit of the Spirit. And I said, what you don't understand is their sin's already gone. They didn't have to confess it. It's already gone. You know, confess sin is to get us back into fellowship with God and other reasons, but their sins are gone. If they were a child of God, yeah, they're in heaven. Now, I have many more verses, but let me move on. Jesus died for my sins. I will never be judged for my sins. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll never be judged for my sins. When I go to God and say, God, I just committed the same sin for the 19th time. He said, I don't remember 19 times. I don't remember at all because I buried it in my sea of forgetfulness. When I go to the beach and I baptize people, I say, do you understand today we're going to baptize you and we're going to ask God to wash all your sins. We're going to kill you and bring you back to life. And your sins are going to float away in this ocean. And if you want them back, you got to come over to the beach and try to get them, try to find them in that ocean. Now, the people in Paul's day understood this sermon that I'm preaching. They had it down. They knew they'd never be judged for their sins. They knew they had freedom in Christ. They knew that no matter what they did in the future, past or present, those sins were taken care of. Jesus paid the price. They knew that. And they knew it so well. Look at their response, or Peter's implied response they would have. Look at Romans 6, 1 and 15. Romans 6, did I give that to you? I might not have given it to you. Romans 6, verse 1 and 15. Romans 6, verse 1 and verse 15. I overlooked that. What should we say then? Now, Paul's just preached a sermon just like I'm preaching now. Just like I'm preaching now. What do we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace might increase? Whoa, look at verse 15. What then? Should we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? In other words, they're saying, hey, Pastor Ron, if you're saying this right and all my sins are forgiven, then man, I'm going to go out and party hardy down. Woo! I'm going to do it. I mean, come on. If my sins are forgiven, why not? Paul says, I'll tell you why not. You can't do it because the Holy Spirit's living in you. He says, do you get it? The Holy Spirit, he's not going to let you do that. He's going to, you know, he's going to deal with you. And that's what he's saying here. See, I have another problem here that's coming up, and I want to ask you a question. How can we hold other believers responsible for their sins once they're confessed and forsaken when God doesn't hold them accountable? Okay? Now listen to me, traditional church. In the traditional church yet today, If you are someone who's been divorced, you can't be an elder in the traditional church. What? Do you understand the hypocrisy here? If you've been married twice and divorced, you cannot be an elder in the church. But if you shacked up with 30 women before you got married, then that's fine. Come on, you're welcome. You can be an elder. When God forgives you, he forgives you. He washes those sins away. They're gone. They're forgotten. How dare us gossip about some Christian who fell? We all fall. We're all saved by grace. We all have skeletons in the closet. We all have things we're not proud of. But Jesus forgave us and he washed us and made us clean. And how dare us blame somebody else that has fallen and gossip about them like they're the worst person in the world? We're all saved by the same grace. Self-righteousness, we got to deal with that. Now, there's a parable in Matthew 18, 21. A king wanted to settle accounts with his servants, and he brought the first servant in, and this servant owed him 10,000 talents, which pretty equal to $10,000. And so he told the servants, I want my 10,000 talents. He said, man, I don't have it. He said, okay, I'm going to throw you, your whole family in prison until you can pay it. And the servant fell down and begged him and said, please, I don't have it, but somehow, you know, I'll try to work it off. Don't throw my family in prison. Don't. And it says he had compassion on him. He said, I'm going to set you free from this whole debt. You don't owe it anymore. That same guy that was forgiven went out and found somebody that owed him 100 denarii. That's equal to a day's wages, maybe $200 or $300. And he went out and said, pay me up. And the guy says, you know what? He said, I don't have it. He said, well, you know what? I'll throw you in prison. And he did. He threw him in prison. Had no mercy on him. The guy fell down and begged him, please don't. But he didn't give him any mercy. He said, no. You're going to pay me back. The same guy that was already forgiven for the larger amount. That's absolutely nuts. Look at Matthew 18, 31 through 35. So when his fellow slaves saw that what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning this forgiven guy, he said, how dare you, you wicked slave? I forgave you that 10,000 talent debt because you pleaded with me. Would you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back all that was owed. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. How many of us are being disciplined by God because we won't forgive other people? Whether it be an ex-spouse, you've got to forgive. If God's forgiven you, you've got to forgive other people. Let them go free. I got a word tonight. Let them go free. Let them go free. Let them go free. But they hurt me. Well, you hurt God a lot. So let them go free. Sometimes we hold people to a higher standard with God than we're held to ourselves. I had a leader decades ago, I'll never forget. This guy didn't like me. For a season, he didn't like me. And he left the church, and a couple, two or three families left the church, and I hadn't seen them, and I heard that they really didn't like me. And then one day, I got a phone call, and it was this guy. He said, Pastor, would you see me today? I need to see you really badly. I said, you need to see me? I thought, am I hearing things? I thought you didn't like me. And I said, no, I'll see you. Come on to my house. And I told him where I lived. He came to my house. And he says, I'm going crazy. He says, my family caught me running down the road with my underwear on last night, howling and screaming. I'm losing my mind. I'm going crazy. I said, well, that's certainly a problem, running around with your underwear, yelling and screaming. That's pretty bad. I said, let's pray. And so we started praying together for about 10 minutes. And it dawned on me, and I think it was the Holy Spirit. And I said, you know what? I think God's showing me you have unforgiveness for someone, and it's really deep. And we got to pray that God will show us who that is. Let's pray and ask God to show us who it is. He said, we don't have to pray. It's you. And that's why God brought you to me. Now, this guy later on became one of my great leaders in this church and very close friend. Very close friend. So back to our subject, we're free in Christ. Now, this is going to make sense. Stay with me. It's going to make sense. We will never be held in condemnation for our sins, past, present, future, never. Jesus paid that price on Calvary. He's never going to bring them up again. They were on the scapegoat. They're gone, okay? Now, tomorrow, if I go out and steal something, See, I go into Walmart and I steal a fishing pole. Don't know how I'd get out with that, but if I did, can I be forgiven for that? Yeah, my sins are gone. All I have to do is confess it and restore fellowship with God. Yeah, you know, if I go out and let's say that I argue with my spouse and I call her bad names and lo and behold, I just do a bunch of bad stuff, can I be forgiven? Yeah, just confess your sin. Cuss someone out. Decide to watch porn. Can I find forgiveness? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can confess that sin and be forgiven. Yes, you can. You say, God will really forgive me. He already has, if you're a born-again Christian. He already has. That's the good news. Now, again, when the people understood Paul's teaching in this way, again, they responded, you know, let's go out and hardy party down. I mean, hey, Paul said, you can't because you got the Holy Spirit in you. Paul says, or he implies, that the Holy Spirit is very strong in us. Very strong. The good news is, all of your sins, past, present, future, they're forgiven. Jesus paid the price for them. But we got to add the addendum here. Do sins still have a bad effect on us? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. What can sins do? Well, if we go on and keep sinning after having the knowledge that we have today, sin can do several things. Number one, God forgive you, can forgive you, and will forgive you. He's already forgiven you. When you confess your sins, that's a done deal. But others might not. The prodigal son, the father forgave him, but the big brother did not. They're still in sowing reap law. You might go out and get into pornography or fall or something as a believer, and you find forgiveness. God forgives you and lets you go on, but your spouse might not forgive you. They might say, this is enough. You've hurt me too badly. So the sow and reap law still works. And tell me, that's one of the repercussions of sin. Number two, it can cause you to be chastised by God. I mean, in Hebrews 12, it teaches us that, you know what, if you're a believer and you keep on sinning, you better beware because you might get hurt in the process. God's pretty jealous. He's pretty, doesn't like it. He doesn't like it when his kids live and try to get into sin and live for a certain length of time. In 1 Corinthians 5, there was a guy living in sin. He said he was a believer, but Paul handed him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that he might be taught not to do that anymore. So are there negative repercussions of a Christian sinning? You bet there are. The third thing that it can cause, you can lose your anointing. If I fell into sin, I can lose my anointing. Without my anointing, I can't preach. Number four, it can cause you to die early. If you're a believer trying to stay in sin for a certain length of time, it can cause you to die early. What do you mean? In 1 Corinthians 11, I also covered this a week or two ago. It says when you take communion, you're supposed to search yourself and see if there's any sin in you. But he said a lot of people are partaking of communion in an unworthy manner, and because of that, they're dead and sick. Because, see, we're to regularly come before God and search our heart and make sure there's nothing between us and Him for fellowship reasons, not relationship, but fellowship. That's why we confess our sins daily. We want to restore fellowship with Him. Because I'm telling you, when we get into it next week, that by His stripes you were healed, we have two different camps. One camp says that has to do with physical healing, other only spiritual. I think they're both right and they're both wrong. I think that by His stripes you're healed, I think it could cover both. Because when you're walking with the Lord and you're right with Him, if you have cancer, He'll talk to you about that cancer. He did me. I you know my story. I should be dead. When you're walking right with God and your kids are going astray or somebody in your family's in danger, God will talk to you about that. Fellowship. So you can pay great prices you probably don't want to pay if you're a Christian and you don't take sin seriously. It can keep you from rewards in heaven. See, some people are so busy struggling with temptation that they never get anything done on the earth for God. Now, I've given you a backdrop. I want to read this verse again, see if it doesn't make more sense now. Go back to the verse we left off, 1 Peter 2:16, and see if it doesn't make more sense. It says, act as free men, but do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Does that make more sense now? Yeah, that fits right into what I've been saying. Paul's told us in two different places, he says, all things are lawful for you as believers, but not all things are profitable. Therefore, I'll be mastered by none. Now let's make this practical. All things are lawful for me because I'm not under the law. All things are lawful for me because I'm a kid. I'm a child of God. But not all things are profitable. Therefore, I'll be mastered by none. Can I go into a bar tonight on my way home? Yeah. Should I? Probably not. But could I? Yeah, I could go in a bar. You're a married man. Can you take your secretary out for coffee tomorrow? Even though you're, yeah, you can, but it might not be wise. Might be pretty stupid. I'm free in Christ. Can I stop somewhere when I'm traveling and get a massage at a massage place? Yeah, I don't know if that's good, though. I don't know if you should. A lot of those places are shady. But I'm free in Christ. You know, it's not one of the rules. You cannot, you cannot go into a bar. You can't get a massage. The rule. No, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. Can I cuss and get by with it? Well, I guess you can. It's not very befitting of a Christian. I don't think you should. Can I go to a bad movie and ask for forgiveness? Or you don't have to ask for forgiveness, but you can confess your sin? Yeah, you can. Not smart. Sin is a horrible thing. And it does horrible things in your life. Wow, finally through this verse. You know, it took us 2 weeks, that one verse. And we only have a few minutes left, about 10 or 12. But let's go on. Let's look at verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to be submitted to an unreasonable master? Well, I'll give you one reason. There are people out there, and some of them are in authoritative positions, who are really jerky people. They're just really not good people at all. And you might know some. Do you know any? I just hope you're not sitting next to one tonight. Don't acknowledge it if you are. But there's people out there that are just jerky people. And it says here, you might have one as a boss. Now, do you know God still loves jerky people? Do you know God, his essence, main essence, is love? He wants everybody to go to. He loves everybody. So one of the things he's saying here to us, I think, is, hey, you're a believer. I expect more out of you. So you be submitted with respect, even those jerky bosses, because you know what? You're probably the only way they're ever going to see the love of Christ. Because everybody else is treating them the same way. Everybody else doesn't like them. Nobody else has anything to do with them. You're going to be different. You're going to go in and submit to them in respect. That's what I want you to do. Because that's the only way they'll get to see and experience Christ. Well, you know how that plays out. If I'm a jerky boss, I'm pretty smart. I know everybody knows I'm a jerk. I know. And I know they all make fun of me probably when my back's turned. I got all that down. I'm a pretty smart guy. That's the way I became a boss. You know, I'm a pretty smart guy. Well, you see this one person, this one guy or gal who's being so respectful to you, and they're just being respectful and they're listening to you, that really catches your attention. You go, you're different. You've just opened that person up, that bad boss, to the possibility of hearing your message because he respects you and you're different. It might draw him to the Savior. Now, let's look at verse 19 to 20. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. So it says here, every time you are taking it on the chin for the kingdom's sake, you get God's attention. Again, I worked for a real hard employer when I was younger before I went in the ministry. He was a tough guy. And more times than not, I was a Christian at the time, he would come in and say, Bo Getty, what are you doing, man? It's 15 minutes. You still been off 15 minutes ago. I said, well, sir, you know what? I took a little longer break than I should have today, and I felt bad, and I owe that to you. Or he would say, Vietti, why are you here 20 minutes after tonight? Well, I was talking to somebody. Somebody came by and seen for a long time, and I owe that to you. And I went on and on. I really treated this guy with respect. Not everybody else did. Well, I want to tell you, before I left that place of employment one day, I got to share my faith with him. He had tears running down his eyes. He was open to me because I had respected him, and I had not dogged him like everybody else. And the guy could be in heaven today. I'm not really sure. So that's what we're being told here. Look at verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you. Now, why did Christ suffer? He suffered for you. Jesus suffered for your benefit. He suffered so you could get something good out of it, and says he left you an example for you to follow in his footsteps. Now, we're going to talk about this more later, but Jesus didn't just suffer for suffering's sake alone. He suffered so you could benefit. And he says that's an example for you. We're to suffer in life sometimes to benefit other people. This kingdom life isn't about you any longer when you give your life to God. It's about the kingdom. It's about Jesus. It's about God. Look at verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed. So he says, just do what, I want you guys to do what Jesus did. He took it on the chin. He suffered so you could be benefited. And I want you to do the same for other people. See, if I stay in my marriage because of Christ, then you know what? I benefited other people very often. My children are benefited when I stay in the marriage because of Christ. I mean, listen to me. I'm tired of this garbage. I hear it all the time. Well, you know what? We don't get along at all, man. It's just better for our kids if we divorce. No, it isn't. Put your big boy pants on. It's better for your kids if you learn to get along and pray together and love one another. That's what's best for the kids. They need their mommy and daddy both there. But very often when there's marriage problems, someone has to take the mature stance, and somebody has to die. Jesus died for us. And sometimes the more mature Christian has to die and say, you know what? I will die to my way because of my kids, because of others. I mean, again, I've said it many times before, but had Debbie and I, believe me, you have marriage problems. We had marriage problems. We know what it's like. If we had divorced and split, Josh would not be in the ministry today. Tara wouldn't be married to Pastor Jim down. It wouldn't have worked out that way. But we suffered for Christ. I remember holding Josh when he was little one day, and at Tara too, both of them. There was a point in time, Debbie and I had a rough first 20 years of our marriage, really tough. I remember holding them one day and telling God, say, God, if it's just for this little one right here, I will never divorce, never. They deserve their mommy and their daddy, and I will stay. Now, those of you who are out there that's divorced before, I don't want, you know, to condemn you. God will make Romans 8:28 work for you. And there's nothing you can do about it now, and God is gracious, and let him, you know, make something good come out of that. The Bible even teaches, you know what it teaches in 1 Corinthians 7? That our children are sanctified by even one believing parent. Because see, in 1 Corinthians 7, it talks about the fact that if you have an unbelieving spouse, they want to leave you. He said, let them go, let them go. Now, that's not heard in counseling very much. Guys come up here and say, I love her so much, Pastor Ron. Will you call her and try to talk her to going back with me? No, no, I'm not going to do that. But Pastor Ron, I can't live without her. I can't, I'll die if she leaves me. I just feel like saying, you know, stop it. You will not die if she leaves you. Stop being a big baby. Yes, tell her you love her, but stop this nonsense. I can't live without her. Grow up. Now I know why she's leaving you. I got it. And but 1 Corinthians 7 says, the unbelieving one wants to live with you, let them stay with you. But if they don't, he said, let them go. He said, because God's called you to peace. You can't have peace living with someone who doesn't want to be with you. Let them go. Let them go. But it says, if you decide to stay with that unbelieving one, them and the children are sanctified through you. And that doesn't mean saved, but it means they're set apart by God for special attention. Wow, what a cool thing that you would suffer so your kids would have special attention from God. Wow. See, be willing to suck it up and suffer for Christ. Suffer with a bad boss. There's suffering in that, but you're there to try to win him to the Lord. suffer sometimes by taking on a ministry in church on Sunday. You say, well, I don't want to take a ministry and commit to something on Sunday because I like to have my Sundays free. Don't we all? We'd all like to have our Sundays free. But some of us say, no, I need to suck it up and I need to get involved in the church and suffer a little bit. Spending the afternoon with someone who's grieving, that's lost someone, that's not a pleasant thing. When you're supposed to go golfing or do something, but you cancel and say, no, I'm going to go spend 4 hours with Joe. He lost his wife last week. That's not pleasant. But through suffering, you please God. Inviting someone to Christmas this year that doesn't have anywhere to go, that ain't going to make your Christmas any better. Because maybe they just had a divorce, and they're sad, and they're gloomy, and they're depressed. They'll try to bring it into your house. But still, you're suffering for God. And I could go on and on. Be willing to suffer to stand up for biblical values. We can't go around apologizing all the time. What's that saying? I always say it two different ways. But you know what? I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. I think that's it. It goes two different ways, but that's the way I know it. So again, suffer persecution so Jesus can be benefited. Can I tell you something? I'm beginning to end this right now. Nothing in life comes without some certain amount of suffering. I mean, good careers, a lot of suffering involved. I worked 70 hours a week for years and decades to get where I'm at today, 60 to 70 hours, no shorter than 60, between 60 and 70. Every week of my life was sometimes one day off, some not, but I did that to get where we're at today. There was some suffering involved. A good education, to be a doctor or a lawyer, there's some suffering involved. It's not fun going to school. A good marriage, there's some suffering involved. A good marriage does not come about without some people suffering, man, suffering through stuff. Good finances, health. I go to the gym like clockwork 4 or 5 times a day, and I mean, you don't get in the way of my gym. I go, I work out. I'm an old guy. I'll be 70 here in about 50 days, I'm telling you. And I want to stay in good shape. But you know what? I hate every minute of that workout. I hate it. I like it when I walk out. If you ever see me walking out of the gym, I got a big smile on my face. Man, I'm feeling good. Because I suffered. I like the benefit of it. See, suffering is not a bad subject. A lot of people would not want to tune in tonight. Say, he's talking about suffering. I don't want to hear about suffering. No, you got to have the suffering to get the great, fantastic stuff. To promote the kingdom. Oh, we suffer, but I know when I get to heaven someday, people are going to come and say, Pastor Ron, you know what? I was saved during one of the sermons one Sunday. Da, 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 da. I know. Whoa, is it going to be worth it? Yes, it's going to be worth it. Health, yeah, you got to suffer. I mean, I'm still there. Debbie and I try to be healthy, and I eat very much sometimes. I go, you know, what do we have for dinner tonight? You got beans or brown rice? Like, oh, man. That's why I have to have Taco Bell every 10 or 12 days. I have to. I was on my way home church a while back here a few weeks ago. I said, Debbie, what do we have? I got the brown rice and the beans again. I said, you know what? I'm going Taco. I just went in there before I was even thinking. I said, I'm on the drive through at Taco Bell. You want something? But it takes that key lime pie, man. When that was gone, I suffered. I got so much more to say, but that, we're, I don't know if you noticed, we've been trying to go shorter lately. Josh is really short sometimes. And he was in here and out of here in a blink of an eye on Sunday. I went, whoa! We really have a great Christmas Eve coming up for you. It's online. It's going to be as good as any show you've seen, but it's going to be about Jesus. I mean, it's a great, it might be better than Easter. You don't want to miss Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock. It's going to be live, and it's going to be really cool. And then next week's Christmas Sunday, Josh is going to host it, and myself and Nikki will both be doing the teaching together. Nikki's got 2 points, I got 2 points, and Josh is going to host it and narrate it and talk in between the lines. So we got a sermon for you then. Got a lot of stuff planned. In 2021, we're telling you our preaching team and what's going on. We got new things. But did you get something out of the Bible study tonight? I'll tell you, we got to start talking about what a Christian really is. If not, we're going to lead a lot of people down the wrong road. Because you know, in Matthew, the parable of the sower, that first seed that is sowed on the hard path, the birds gobble it away. And if you see the interpretation, Jesus says, those are the people who receive the seed, but they don't understand what it's about. And they fall away. So, we're through. I want you to be careful out there tonight. And I hope you're all seeing that we're getting down the nitty-gritty again. We're teaching the word now. And especially Wednesday nights. Yeah, I came to the conclusion a few months back, I didn't move on it. And God's people don't know the word. And the word of God's going to set you free. Even tonight, do you know how much better off you're going to be in your walk with Christ than people that didn't hear this? Because now you know what suffering's about. You know what freedom of Christ means. God has faith in you. And I'm free. I can go do a lot of things tonight, but I choose not to because it's a love relationship. Not profitable for me. I really enjoy the anointing. I really enjoy the blessings. I really enjoy hearing God's voice. And if I have to give up some temptations for that, I will gladly make the trade. Gladly. So again, it's not about works. It's about faith. It's about truly believing. But a lot of people say they're believing. They're not really believing. You got to really believe this with all your heart, soul, and mind. Father God, grace us out and keep us safe on the roads tonight. Keep us safe from the virus. And if you're here tonight, you've never been born again, just raise your hand and say, I've never been born again. If you're at home watching online tonight, if you've never been born again, you're not sure you have been, raise your hand because God will see you in that house. God will see you. Raise your hand and say, hey, I've never been born again. Anybody in the house tonight, say, I've never been born again. I don't know that I'm right with God. Anybody, anywhere. At home, if you raise your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer and I'll have everybody pray this and just say, Father God, forgive me for all of my sins. Tonight, I want to start following you. I want to be born again tonight. So right now, Lord, pray with me at home. Right now, Lord, send your Holy Spirit and come and live in my body. Take up residence in me. Make me your child. I want to be born for the second time. And then give me the strength I need to start following Jesus. I thank you for receiving me. And I now receive the Holy Spirit in my body, and I'm going to start living for you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you here, there, and here.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King, give us our